Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this time to look into your word, because we know, Lord, that your spirit can do something amazing through your word, God, that you can show us who you are. You can show us that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You can show us that you are the Son of God. You can show us everything that you want us to see, that we would esteem your worth, that we would savor who you are, and that we would worship you today, God. We pray for that, Lord. Help us to receive your love and to love you back as we hear your word today, Lord. We pray that you would unpack your word in us in a way that changes us and help our hearts burn with a passion for you, for your identity and our identity in you. God, we pray that we would have a fullness of your presence and your joy and your hope and your love and your peace today as we look to your word and see you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to repeat myself because I said this a few weeks ago, but I'm going to say it again. I think it's worth saying. You know, have you guys been watching the basketball tournament, the NCAA? And like maybe you've got a team that you cheer for and you're really excited and you jump out of your seat, and or maybe it's, you know, I don't know, the Colts or whatever you're into. But amen. If you can, you know, and that's fine. That's fine to get excited, and it's good to be passionate about things. But if you can get excited about that, man, you got to get excited about the fact that Jesus is alive. So, hallelujah! He's risen. It's awesome. And he's not only risen. I mean, that's awesome in itself, but he reigns. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he is good. And he loves you. And his plans for you are good. Well, today we're going to, of course, have a message about Jesus and a resurrection message. But actually, the next couple of weeks, too, for a few weeks, we're going to be just really celebrating the fact that Jesus is alive. Hopefully for all of eternity, I think we're going to celebrate that Jesus is alive. Matthew 28, starting in verse 5. If you'd like to turn your Bibles, I'll give you a minute. Matthew 28, verse 5. Verses 5 to 7. Then the angel spoke to the women, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come and see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you into Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I've told you." He's alive. He's alive. That is awesome news. That is awesome news. Because he lives. Because he lives. Any Gaither fans in the house? I can face tomorrow. I'm telling you, if Jesus Christ were not alive, and if I didn't have the Holy Spirit living in me, man, I would have no hope at all. I would have no hope, believe me. There's nothing in me that would give me hope apart from his presence and the truth that he reigns and that he is sovereign, he is good, that he loves me, that he loves you. You know, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear, and I'm as prone to fear as any of you guys, all fear is gone. Because I know that he holds the future. Yes, life is worth the living. Because he lives. Amen. Amen. I've titled the message today, "Behold, I am alive forevermore." I am alive forevermore. Because he didn't just rise to new life on that day 2,000 years ago. He is alive today, and he is alive forever and ever and ever. And that is great news. We're going to look at Revelation chapter 1, starting in verse 17. If you'd like to turn there in your Bibles, you can. It'll probably take me a few minutes to get there, so you have to be patient with me. Revelation chapter 1. verses 17 and 18. But I want to take a moment to just say that I'm excited that maybe there are people who are watching today online or people who are here in the sanctuary today. I know there's some of you who know that Jesus is alive. And you know the significance for you personally of that, that he's your Savior. But I know there's also always some people who maybe have some doubts about that or some skepticism. And that's fine. I've been there. That's me for many years. But I want to encourage you today, if that's you, first of all, that we're glad. You know, Jesus says, he invites you to come as you are. Come with your doubts, come with your questions, come with your fears, come with your skepticism, come with your hurts and your hang-ups and your brokenness, just wherever you are, his invitation is just come. Come to him. He's bigger than all that. He can handle that. And I want to encourage you to let you know today that God is so great and so wonderful, and he loves you so much that he can, for you to know God, the only way for you to know God is through Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us, and it's true. It's only through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that you can know the Father, but God can use a lot of things to bring you to Jesus. He can use, like he used for me, he used my own brokenness and my circumstances. He used me coming to the end of myself. Me just living in the ditch of life, in addictions and mess for a long, long time. And then bringing me out of that in his mercy and letting me see like the world's version of success and showing me that that's meaningless too. And just bringing me to the end of myself and where I just cried out to him, God, I am so sick of me. And I need to know you. And maybe he'll do that for you. Maybe that's how he'd bring you. Sometimes he uses... I know some of us are intellectual, and so he'll use what are called apologetics. He'll use expounding upon the truth of God's word in a way that connects with you. Some of us are really hyper-emotional, and so he'll connect with us in a really emotional way. But all these things bring us to Jesus. It's not these things in themselves that save us. He brings us to the Savior. He brings us to Christ. More often than anything else that I've seen in my life, the thing that God really uses, though, to really break through, sometimes it's even supernatural. I mean, he showed up in my life in ways that you probably wouldn't believe. He is a supernatural God, and he can do that. He can do that. But a lot of times how he really manifests in our lives in a way that lays hold of us is through his word, through the word of God. And I just want to encourage you today that even if you come here with skepticism or you're watching online and you just doubt this whole thing of Jesus being alive today and that he is the King of Kings and that he is sovereign over the universe, and if you have doubts about that, we welcome that, and God welcomes those skepticisms and those doubts. But I want to tell you that if those doubts are honest, I mean, if your heart is not hardened to the truth, if you want to know, he can reveal himself to you today through his word. So I just want to encourage you, as we share the word of God, that's not just for those who already believe. That's for those who don't as well, because God can use that. And I just want to let you know that he loves you and he wants you to know him, no matter who you are today. I want to share with you just briefly a quick story about a couple of friends who are traveling. This is a true story. They were traveling by train a long time ago, and both of these guys were unbelievers. Both of these guys had no interest really in following Christ, but they'd heard a lot about him, raised in homes where they'd heard about Jesus, and even though they didn't believe that he was the Son of God and the Savior of the world, they believed that, well, he probably historically existed. And they were talking about him, and these guys said, you know, wouldn't it be cool if somebody wrote a story about him that set the record straight? Wouldn't it be great if somebody wrote maybe a romance about Jesus and just stripped away all that stuff about him being divine? And just what if we just set the record straight and said, you know, he was just a guy. He's a really good guy. And one of the friends said to the other, you know, you're a good writer. You should write that story. You should write a story about how Jesus was just a really good guy. Well, the man who decided to write that story, his name was Lew Wallace. He was a general. And he's from Indiana, actually. And he started undertaking his research to write this story about the real Jesus. And so he's doing his research, and he's reading all these volumes of books and commentaries, and more than anything, he's poring over the Bible. He's reading the scripture. And as he read the scriptures and he pored over them for weeks and months, something happened. The Spirit of God started speaking to Lew Wallace through the Word of God and brought him to a place of conviction of his need for God's forgiveness and the fact that Jesus is exactly who the Bible says he is. And he ended up putting his trust in Jesus Christ, and he was changed. And the book that he wrote about Jesus actually was very different than what they had decided he was going to write on, but it was a book called Ben-Hur. Maybe you've seen the movie or watched it, but it exalts Christ. It's a book that really communicates Christ for who he is. And I just want to say that God can do the same thing for you, that if you come like this man did with your doubts and maybe a healthy dose of skepticism to the Word of God, and I would encourage you to do this, because we need God's help to understand his Word. The Bible says that the things of the Spirit are spiritually discerned. So you need to ask for his help. But if you humble yourself and just say, God, I don't even know who you are. I don't know if you're real, but I've got all these doubts. But, you know, maybe what Pastor James said is true. You know, maybe if I read your Word and if I ask you, if you're real, I mean, and you want me to know you, maybe you would speak to me through this and help me to understand. I believe he'll do that. I believe he'll do that. I've seen it happen many times. So I just want to encourage you today, as we hear the Word of God, don't think, no, this is just for Christians. Don't tune out. Because God can speak to you today through his Word. A lot of the things that God laid on my heart this week, as I was preparing for the message, I really felt like he wanted me to just proclaim today. To just worship him through declaring truth today, more than me trying to convince you of anything. And to just trust his Holy Spirit to use his Word to do whatever he wants to do. But I pray this for all of us, and I've been praying this week. In Luke, there's a conversation in Luke 24, between these two disciples of Jesus. And they're walking along the road, and Jesus meets them along the way. And they start walking together, and they're having this conversation with Jesus, and supernaturally, his identity is hidden from them. They don't understand who he is, but he's speaking with them. And he's explaining the scriptures. He's opening up the scriptures to them as they walk along, and they spend time together. And eventually, they part. Jesus actually disappears. In Luke 24:32, the Bible says that they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us? Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And that's been my prayer this week for me and for you guys and for everybody, is that as we hear the scriptures, wherever we are today, that our hearts would burn within us the truth of the Word of God, that Jesus is the Son of God, that he's the King of Kings, and that he would help us to draw close to his heart for us. Christianity is founded upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christianity is founded upon the resurrection of Jesus. Unless Jesus is alive, as we declare today and every day, there would be no reason for the church to exist. There would be no reason to gather if he's not alive. There would be no reason for people to sell their possessions and go to another country and live as a missionary and share the gospel with other people. There would be no reason for us to go across the street and have a really uncomfortable conversation with a neighbor about Jesus and make them think we're even weirder than they already think we are. Yeah. But he is alive, and he is a redeemer, and our lives should be a testimony to that, right? Our redeemed lives, people see that. It's not just the words that we say, but the difference that the Holy Spirit makes in us. And again, I want to encourage you, go to the Word of God if you have doubts about Christ being alive. The Apostle Paul was speaking to King Agrippa, and he said, listen, as he told him about Jesus and spoke of the crucifixion and spoke of his risen Savior, he said, listen, King Agrippa, you know these things weren't done in a corner somewhere. These things were done in the open. Jesus, the risen Savior, he appeared to the women who first came there to the tomb. He appeared to his disciples. He appeared to over 500. He appeared to many, many people, including those two disciples walking along the road to Emmaus. And as the scriptures were written and as the gospel was presented in the first century, many of these witnesses were alive. Anybody could have gone and spoken to people in Jerusalem, many people who saw Jesus. But I believe even 2,000 years later, if we'll come in humility and honesty, and we'll say, God, I want to know you. If you're for real, I want to know that his Spirit can give you that burning in your heart and that understanding that he's who he says he is. Revelation 1, starting in verse 17. This is about 60 years after Jesus ascended. He'd risen from the grave. He had appeared and spent some time with the apostles. He'd given them some instructions. He'd encouraged them. He ascended into heaven, and this is a long time later. Most of the apostles, 60 years after that, are with the Lord in heaven now. They've gone on. They've died. But the Apostle John is still on earth. He's on an island called Patmos. It's a penal colony. He's there in exile. He's a prisoner. John, who wrote this, who wrote the book of Revelation, was so close to Jesus Christ. They were friends. He spent 3 years with him as one of his disciples. At the foot of the cross, Jesus had given John this responsibility of caring for his mother. At the Last Supper, they were there next to each other, and John had leaned against Christ. John had written the Gospel of John. He'd written letters to the churches. He'd felt this compulsion by the Holy Spirit to let the world know that Jesus is the Savior. And so, if anybody could say, you know, what a friend we have in Jesus, it's John. If anybody could say, I know him, and knows that he is loved and accepted, it's John. And even with that intimacy that they have, even with that closeness and that friendship, John writes this. In John 1:17, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as one dead. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as one dead, and he laid his hand upon me, saying, fear not. John is here before his friend, but his friend is exalted and glorious. This is a vision in heaven, in the throne room of heaven, and Jesus, knowing that in the midst of his glory and majesty, that John is rocked to the core of his being. He's terrified in the presence of Christ. And so Jesus, out of love for his friend, he lays his hand upon him and he says, fear not. Don't be afraid, John. Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and of Hades. Wow. Wow. In the presence of the power of the Son of God, John falls down, undone. But out of love, Jesus assures him, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I love that Jesus makes it so clear to us that he is our friend, that he is relatable, that he's the Son of Man. We've been watching the Chosen series. Have you guys seen The Chosen? We watched that for a Bible study on Wednesdays for a while. If you haven't seen it, you can download it for free. And the neat thing about The Chosen, it presents the life of Jesus through the eyes of his disciples, through the eyes of human beings like me and you. And because of that, they show the miracles of Jesus, yes, but they show how just relatable he is as a person. He's not distant. He's not in his divinity. He's not at arm's length from us. He's so relatable and so beautiful in that. And they do a great job in that. But Jesus, having been crucified for our sins and having rose from the dead, he is on the throne. I mean, he is exalted and glorious. And when he comes back, yes, he loves us. And I think if I need a hug, he's going to give me a hug. And I mean, he's still so relatable in that way. But at the same time, man, he is the Son of God. And his majesty and his glory is just going to blow us away. I remember something my late father-in-law said before he went to be with the Lord. He was asked, what are you going to do when you see Jesus? Because he knew it was going to be soon. What are you going to do? And he said, I'm going to fall at his feet. I'm going to worship him. I'm just going to fall down and worship him. And after 10,000 years, then what? I think I'm going to stay there. I'm just going to stay there and worship him. Jesus is not only resurrected, he is, praise the Lord, he is resurrected and he is our friend and he loves us, but he is sovereign over the entire universe. He is eternal. And he has authority. He has authority. The Bible says he has authority over every living thing, over all of creation. The creation is created by him and for him. He has authority over all of it, all of us. And we read here in this passage in Revelation that he has the keys over death and Hades, the realm of the dead, that he is not only sovereign over life, but he is sovereign over death. And because he reigns, and because he loves us, and because we are saved and have life in him, not only does he have eternal life, but we have eternal life. Amen. We're going to look at Revelation chapters 4 and 5. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles, we're going to have some slides for that. But John, as he's there in the throne room, and he sees Jesus, and when we come together for a church service, we come together for a worship service, you know, sometimes we think we need so many things. We need like a band that is musically talented, which is cool because we do have that and that's nice. And we like to have like a good sound system, and we want to have like some songs that kind of move us, and that's all wonderful, you know. Some congregations are blessed with fog machines. Or a curse, I don't know. It depends on your perspective on that. You know, there's so many things. We think about all these different things, but, you know, we see here in Revelation 4 and 5, the one thing that's really needed for worship is the object of worship. The one thing that's needed for worship is Jesus. And that we see him, and that we, you know, one of the things I pray for before I preach every week, I pray, God, give me the miracle of self-forgetfulness, because the last thing I need or anybody needs is to be thinking about me. God, just all eyes on you. including mine. And that's what we see here in Revelation 4 and 5. All eyes on Jesus. And that's where worship comes from. All around the world today, people who are born again, people who have put their trust in Jesus, through His Spirit and through the proclamation of His Word and the truth that He has risen, are worshiping Him all over the world. People of every race, every nation, every language, all over the planet are worshiping Jesus today. And not only that, but in heaven. And we get this scene here in Revelation 4 and 5. And I want to encourage you today. We're just going to take a quick look at a few verses, but go back and check this out for yourself, please. But not only all joining brothers and sisters all over the planet in worshiping Jesus today, but we get to join with heaven. We get to join with our loved ones who've gone on before. We get to join with the angels as we look with eyes of faith upon our Savior, and we can proclaim how awesome He is and worship Him today. So I'm going to invite you, if you know Him, I want to invite you today to join with heaven, to join with our loved ones who are there, to join with the angels today. And because we're given this glimpse in Scripture of what they're saying there, we're going to join them in this too, in these proclamations of the truth of who Jesus is and how awesome our God is. So I want to invite you, Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Amen. Chapter 4, verse 11. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Verse 12. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Verse 13. To Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Because He's alive. Because He's alive. Because He gave His life on the cross. Because He loves you enough to go in your place, to die your death, that you can have His life. You can worship Him and praise Him today and every day. I want to encourage all of us. It's not too tough to proclaim the truth of God's Word and proclaim how awesome Jesus is. It's not too tough to do it here among brothers and sisters. I don't think we should ever stop doing it. Forever and ever and ever, we're going to worship Him, including in this life. Christians can be really obnoxious. Anybody agree with that? Amen? We can. Tell the truth. Shame the devil. Come on. This is not a call to be obnoxious. It's just a call to keep worshiping Him. Proclaim who Jesus is. Not to beat anybody over the head, not out of self-righteousness. He's all that, we're not, okay? But out of love for who he is, out of the truth for who he is, whether people believe it or not, proclaim it everywhere, to all the world, to all people, that he is alive. That's a wonderful, wonderful truth. There's a world around us, and maybe you guys, maybe you don't, maybe you're like me, you don't really like to think about your life before you were saved. But sometimes it's good to think about it. Sometimes it's good for me to remember the hopelessness and the brokenness of my life before Christ came in and changed me. And to remember that there's people all around me that need that same love and that same hope and that same cleansing and that same removal of guilt and shame, that they need that too. And they need to see and hear that you believe what's true. So proclaim him. Proclaim him. I'm going to share a poem with you. This is from an Indiana author, Ethel Anderson. She passed away 2 months ago at the age of 99. The world around you, the people around you need to hear the truth, but they also need to experience the heart of Christ through your heart for them. And I think this is included here at the end of this poem or conveyed that way. Seek ye the Lord. Search not the cold and empty tomb. He is not linked to night and gloom. He is not bound by death and strife. His name is light and love and life. He lives. He is risen. Go and find ye then the living Lord in the hearts of men. If you've been redeemed, you need to say so to the world. You need to say so for him, whether the world's listening or not. You need to tell someone. You need to tell someone that you have life because he died. And that you have eternal life because he lives. Worship team, you can come back up. We're going to celebrate communion here in a few minutes, but the worship team is going to come up first. And I'm going to pray for us. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the truth that you live and that you reign. Thank you for the wonderful truth that you love and died to save us. Lord, thank you for the beauty of your creativity, Lord. Thank you that you love diversity and that you make people so different and you invite people from every political party, every nation, every tribe and tongue, to come and see that you are good, to come and see that you are a Savior. Thank you that you purchased us for yourself by your blood. Thank you, Lord, that you bring us together, even as you save us individually, you bring us together as family, as your church, as your bride. What a beautiful, beautiful thing. Thank you, Lord. It's in your name, Lord, we praise you. Amen.
The song of the redeemed, rising from the African plain. It's the song of the forgiven, drowning out the Amazon rain. The song of Asian believers, filled with God's holy fire. It's every tribe, every tongue, every nation, a love song born of a grateful choir. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. All God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. Let it rise above the four winds, caught up in the heavenly sound. Let praises echo from the towers of cathedrals to the faithful gathered underground. Of all the songs sung from the dawn of creation, some remain to persist. Of all the bells rung from a thousand steeples, none rings truer than this. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. All God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. And all the powers of darkness tremble at what they've just heard. Cause all the powers of darkness can't drown out a single word. And all the powers of darkness tremble at what they've just heard. Cause all the powers of darkness can't drown out a single word. When all God's children sing out glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. All God's people singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. All God's people singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. All God's people singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. Every tribe, every tongue, every nation, hallelujah, hallelujah. Every tribe, every tongue, every nation, singing hallelujah, hallelujah. Every tribe, every tongue, every nation, singing hallelujah, hallelujah. Every tribe, every tongue, every nation, singing hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. All God's people singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. All God's people singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. All God's people singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns.
You may be seated. So for Mike.
Good morning.
Well, even as we celebrate the awesome reality of a risen Savior today, and we also remember the incredible sacrifice that he made out of love for us, to save us. We celebrate an open communion here, and what that means is that if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you have trusted in him and you have life in him, we invite you to participate. He invites you to participate in communion. The Bible instructs us in 1 Corinthians to examine ourselves and examine our motives as we participate in communion. Not to do this because everybody else is doing it, not to do this to participate because of what anybody may or may not think, but to really reflect on our relationship with Christ, to take some time to make sure that if there's anything, any hindrance there, any sin that we need to confess. The Bible says that when we confess our sins to the Lord, that he is faithful and just to forgive. But to just take this time seriously and to remember who this is about. In 1 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 23, the Bible says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, the Lord Jesus. On the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we're being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world." I want to give a few minutes for us to just quietly allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us, whatever he wants to say to you today. So we'll have a few moments of silence, and then together we'll take the bread and the cup here in just a moment. 1 Corinthians 11:26 again. God's word tells us, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And he is coming. The body of Christ broken for your sins. The blood of Christ shed for you. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving your body, your life, that we could receive, that we could be forgiven. Lord, thank you for the new covenant in your blood. God, we remember your blood shed willingly on that cross for our forgiveness, that we could lay hold by grace through faith of the certain promise of eternity with you. God, what a wonderful promise. Thank you so much. Thank you that even as we look forward to that day, that you're with us now. Thank you, Lord, that you were here, that you were near, that we walk in your life today. Thank you, Lord, that you not only have removed the guilt and the shame and the sins, but you have given us your righteousness. That you have broken the power of sin in us so that we can choose to walk in freedom. Thank you, Lord, for taking us out of the kingdom of darkness that we were running towards and bringing us into your family and loving us so incredibly. Lord, I pray as we near the end of the service, Lord, help us to have a fullness of your joy, unhindered by anything, to worship you and to declare the freedom that you've purchased by your blood. Thank you, Lord. We love you and praise you.